Today's show is brought to you by KickUp. KickUp helps leaders ask the right questions to get actionable data, visualize information to guide effective next steps, and track teacher growth over time. Learn more at kickup.co. This fall's top conference for educators and leaders is the What Great Educators Do Differently conference. It'll be held October 14th and 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. See speakers like Jeff Zoll, Ken Williams, and Lavana Roth, all past guests here on the show. Register today at WGEDD.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Well, hey, Better Leaders, I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Karine Veldhoen. She is the founder of Learn Forward and a creative force in education. She's also the chief learning officer at Willowstone Academy and the CEO founder of Nateo Africa, a former education consultant for FreshGrade and a modern day pilgrim. Listen, Karine's got a lot of wisdom that she's going to share with the listeners today, and I'm excited to bring you this episode. We're going to talk about the power of being a learner and the power of letting go, the story behind starting her book, Learn Forward, and the five most important journeys of a child. We're also going to get into some fun relational stuff, like how to do vision building for your family and why she takes 15 minutes every morning to have coffee with her husband. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So Karine, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Daniel, I think I have always known that I was going to be a teacher since my childhood. I was the oldest child of four children born in 5 years. And so I think I had that teaching, nurturing, caretaking role, and it just seemed natural.
And how would you describe your leadership style? How did you develop this style?
Well, I like to think that my leadership style is fairly collaborative and informs my philosophy that I call the table of learning. I like to think that I've created a welcoming environment, first and foremost for the children, and also for their parents and the community and the teachers. So I think my leadership style is just really trying to create that welcome and that hospitality.
You know, and the idea of being collaborative in this phrase too that you just used, the welcoming environment, is really important to me. And I want to visualize and hear what that even looks like. So how would you describe, what does your welcoming environment look like and sound like? And how do you create that so that it's a part of your school's culture?
Yeah, cultivating cultures of community is becoming a really deep inquiry for me. And as I mentioned to you, I have a personal philosophy that I call the table of learning. And I really wanted to reimagine the relationships in schools. And so I thought, really, we're all at this table of learning. And it's not just the students that are learning, but it's also us as educators and parents. We all can posture ourseles as learners. And that's a certain reciprocity. And so from there, we try to actually behave that way, have meaningful relationships and exchange meaningful information and evidence of learning. So what that specifically would look like is maybe more connection with parents and students and teachers, more collaboration, evening opportunities for parents to be in our building and do a design thinking or maker space with their child and their child's teacher. It might be some equipping types of events or opportunities for parents where they can learn more about child development. So it's a whole wide variety and menu, but it is at its heart the table of learning and collaborative.
What tends to be, I guess, something that your community gravitates toward the most?
In terms of the table of learning?
Yeah, and those welcoming events that you create.
You know, I think it's different for every family. Certainly, we have parents who are unavailable for one reason or another to be on campus much. And for them, we have digital portfolios in FreshGrade, and we use opportunities and technology to give them real-time information about student learning. As well, the parents who are able to come on campus, they love to connect. And actually, what we found is they really love to talk about their child's learning, what's happening in education, the real issues. And I think that has been a really dynamic space for parents to be in.
Yes, it's so funny. It should be common sense to us, but just to present parents with opportunities to talk about their kids, right? And what their kids are learning, or just helping their children be the, get the spotlight within an event to show off their talents and their progress, really will get parents excited about what you're doing. And you don't have to do much more than that, but oftentimes we forget it. So thank you for that reminder. Kareen, now we're going to get into all the different hats that you wear, and I want to share, you know, what you've learned through founding a number of organizations and being a principal. But before we get to that good stuff, I want to ask you a harder question, which is, what do you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, Daniel, I've heard you ask this question before, and I love it. I walk through each day knowing that I am imperfect, and I try to be really vulnerable with that and share with the team and my students that it's okay to be a learner. I write a lot about mistakes that I've made both personally and professionally in my book, Learn Forward. But I think probably one of the things that as a theme I'm working on is maybe just not to take things quite so personally. I think there's so many reasons for why things happen the way that they do that have nothing to do with us as leaders. And I think that probably says a lot about me, but I tend to sometimes take things too personally and wear them so heavily on my heart. And so one of the things I have to work on is framing things in really healthy ways.
Can you go a little deeper into that? Like, what do you mean by framing? When you're talking about not taking things so personally and, you know, having it weigh heavily on your heart, you're speaking right to me. I need to learn from you right now. Help me out. Like, how do I not take things so personally?
Well, like I said, I'm learning this. We'll be at this table of learning together, Daniel. You know, everything that we face as leaders in schools and working with teachers and students, there can be really complex issues. And I think one of the things that I have to practice is letting go, reminding myself when I can't control things. And I do that a variety of ways, through prayer and meditation, through journaling, through deep breathing, through sometimes I just have to even write it down, let it go, it's okay. And just really at the end of each day, knowing I did my best and that's enough.
Yeah, that's so good. The power of letting go. I need to tell myself that and take some deep breaths and pray and meditate, like you said, to hopefully help myself out. Oh, need it so badly. You have no idea.
Oh, I think I do.
I appreciate that. So, you know, I hinted towards this. You wear so many different hats. You founded Learn Forward. You're the principal of Willowstone Academy and also the founder of, I'm not sure if I pronounce this right. Please correct me if I get it wrong. Nateo Africa?
Nateo
Africa. And you're doing so much good work. Can you share the story of founding Learn Forward? What is it and what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think Learn Forward came out of talking about a little bit, really watching the heavy hearts of teachers. I think that's systemic, or it's quite a deep issue in our society at large. And I thought, wow, but they have such a crucial role. Like, they're my heroes. How can I possibly nourish their sacred work? And then I saw these parents, and they were so like anxious and heavy-hearted and worn out. And I thought the same thing for them. And I thought, at the end of the day, I want to see children thriving. And so for me, that really looked like nourishing the sacred work of parents and teachers. So my next question was, well, what matters most for children in thriving, and how can I support parents and teachers? In summer of 2014, you know, those long summer days, they give us opportunity to reflect. I sketched into my notebook what I believe are the five most important journeys of a child. And it was literally on a little tree sketch. You can see it various places on Learn Forward and within our community. But it's a horrible drawing of a nest and these little birds in a nest and launching into flight. And the five most important journeys of a child: faith, worthiness, selfhood, belonging, and change making. And from there, a book came and a blog and a variety of other resources for parents and teachers. But I really wanted to distill down what matters most. What can we focus on to help us just know that it's going to be okay?
So that's change making, belonging, selfhood, worthiness, and faith, correct?
Yeah.
And how did you, I guess, identify those as the most important journeys of a kid?
Well, I think that has to go to my hat as a mom.
Okay.
I have, who's 19. He's quite special because he has cerebral palsy with a hearing impairment. So his life has taught me so much about what matters most.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, who's 18, she is ready to run the country next week, and she's very capable. And my little bonus baby, who's 4.5. And my journey as a mummy is this expansive journey that really, it inspires me to think about what matters most and let go of the rest.
So what does matter most? You've mentioned that a few times now. So in your opinion, like, how did you identify that, and how do you stay true to it day to day?
Yeah, it isn't super practical. You're touching on something that's really important, Daniel. And those five journeys, what I put out into the world is my proposition of what matters most. I often try to think about, well, what is my child, my own personal child, learning in one of those journeys? Because, you know, there's all of these day-to-day kind of episodes or anecdotes or experiences that the children are having, and it's the same for my students at school. And so I really wanted to focus on, oh, like, this is my child or my student. They're becoming who they are uniquely destined to be. That's selfhood. And just having that little frame just, again, makes me more confident in what's happening developmentally for the child.
You know, and I don't think I've ever asked this question to a guest, even though I have plenty of parents on the podcast, but how has being a mom helped you become a better leader in education?
Wow. My children are my inspiration. They have taught me way more than the letters behind my name. And everything I do in education is informed by what I would want for my own most precious children. So in many ways, I feel like I'm nurturing a whole school full in the same way that I would want my own children to be nurtured.
That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. You know, in this idea of nurturing too, and really giving back and taking care of, you know, of kids all around the world too, I'm guessing that helps shape your involvement in Africa. But I'm curious, what lessons did you learn working in Africa, and how has that shaped your Learn Forward perspective?
Yeah, being in Africa has clearly helped me see that journey of a child or that path of restoration, that path of becoming. And I open my book with a story from one of my very first trips to Africa. And it's about a girl who I met who doesn't have a name. And she doesn't know her name.
Like literally doesn't know her name?
She was 6 years old. She was an orphan. And she literally didn't have a name. No one had named her. And so, yeah, so I knelt down and I took her little face in my hands and I said, "You are precious." And that story really sealed for me that I can't unknow this now. Now I am responsible for these children who are vulnerable in some way. I'm responsible to walk with them and to learn with them and to sit with them and say, how can we solve these issues together? And I've learned a lot about international development since then. And I have a lot of experiences, 12 trips to East Africa. And that is also helping me just distill down into what matters most. So I love that I'm able to write about that in the book and just share kind of this intersection of, hey, some truths are universal.
Speaking of universal truths, what do you think is the secret behind leading a great school?
Yeah, I think it's about that. It's about getting to what is universal. It's about, and it's equally living in that paradox of being personalized and really ensuring that every child's needs are met. So yeah, I think it's being really grounded in your values and what matters most, and being also really willing to always hold the student at the center of everything that you're doing as a school leader. And I think as we leverage our relationships at that table of learning, we can do that more effectively.
And knowing what you know now, is there anything you would tell yourself as a new principal?
Oh, I think I would say, give it time. I think I tend to be pretty ambitious. I can hear my teachers on my team giggling as they listen to this. I tend to have pretty high expectations. And yet what I've learned over the last decade in administration for sure is that everything is developmental and we have to give things time. And we have to really create and cultivate those supportive emotional environments so that we can take risks and be transformational and change-making the way that we want to be in schools.
So, Corinne, is there anything that you do specifically to create a risk-taking culture and environment to make it safe for your staff members to experiment and fail and learn from their mistakes?
Yeah, besides trying to always advise myself to slow down and give things time, I think we have to be brutally honest with each other. I had that experience today, and I really treasure that. I think we have to, when we cultivate that team, we have to trust each other, and that big word of trust, kind of as Brené Brown says, it happens one marble at a time. As you fill the jar full of marbles, you are earning trust. And so just being really consistent, listening, I talk about that a lot in the book, that courage to lean into challenge or awkward or difficult. And then you come out the other side with stronger relationships. So I feel like that's really present for me today, and I am taking my own advice as I say it.
Yeah, I think we all are. You know, that's why I'm always asking these type of questions to school leaders, because I'm very, very interested in trust, in creating spaces where people can experiment and fail. But it's like you mentioned, if we're depositing these marbles, into some type of jar, and that's earning the trust. Like, what are the ways we do it? And I really appreciate you sharing with the listeners that, you know, I think consistency is so important, because if you're not, I mean, nobody knows what's going to come, and people like a pattern that they can rely on. So being consistent is key. You mentioned listening. And then something too that I think is very hard for us, leaning into tough spaces. So, you know, obviously there's Brené Brown and her work, but like, how do we actually develop these skills? Like, did it come natural to you, or were there resources or people that helped you develop these skills, or how did they come about in your leadership journey?
Well, Daniel, I've titled the book Learn Forward for a reason, because I'm always learning from my mistakes.
Yeah.
So I think that notion of being a reflective practitioner is important. In fact, it's essential. It's essential whether you're a first-year teacher or you're a seasoned administrator or even in the upper levels of leadership in a school district. I think that reflective practitioner piece is important. And I also really invite this in my school community. It's that notion of practicing, right? Practitioner, and we practice. So we're allowed to make mistakes, and we practice. We practice taking that deep breath. We practice connecting with people. We practice stepping out of our comfort zones. All of those things are just daily practices. And for me, that framing really helps. And lastly, I just read a lot. And I think that's really shaped and informed a lot of my thinking. I don't just read in education. I read broadly in business and self-help and psychology and spiritual, as I mentioned, international development. So I think all of that also just helps build into those experiences that I'm having on a daily basis.
Since you brought it up in terms of reading, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
Every principal, and I would say every teacher, needs to read Parker Palmer's The Courage to Teach. And I will say that the Center for Courage and Renewal has been really important. It's Parker Palmer's nonprofit, and it's been important in my formation as a leader in trying to cultivate safe and trusting environments. So I would highly recommend Parker Palmer, his Center for Courage and Renewal, and The Courage to Teach as a seminal work.
In addition to books, are you consuming blogs and podcasts, video? What other ways do you like to learn?
I love to learn, of course, on your podcast, Daniel. And my favorite is for sure On Being.
Okay.
With Krista Tippett. And as well, I'm reading blogs and on Twitter, and I'm everywhere on social media. So please feel free to connect with me there. I invite all of the listeners to connect. I would love that. So yeah, I have a vast personal learning network.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Twitter, LinkedIn, I'm big on Snapchat and Instagram, but that's getting sort of pulling people over there in terms of connecting with them. But Twitter and LinkedIn's been a great way for me to grow my professional learning network. Where can people find you in terms of social media? How could they connect with you?
Yeah, if you search Learn Forward on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I'm of course at Karine Veldhoen in most of those, all of those places, as well as on LinkedIn. So yeah, I'm happy to connect with all of your listeners.
That's great. We'll definitely put all your links in the show notes so people can reach out and connect with you that way. And tell us also, where can we get our hands on the book?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and all of those great websites. You can check it out either for Kindle or in hard copy. And I talk a lot about the five most important journeys of a child and the table of learning in the book. But it's just a start for sure.
Let's pause here for a message from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy-to-use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs, creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Today's podcast is sponsored by the What Great Educators Do Differently Conference on October 14th and 15th in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri. Let me give you two reasons to attend. There's visionary presenters at each What Great Educators Do Differently Conference. You'll learn from a dozen or more presenters who are recognized nationally and internationally as among the foremost educational thinkers in the field. There's also connection opportunities. In addition to learning from presenters who are accomplished educational trailblazers, each What Great Educators Do Differently conference has time built into the schedule for a mini unconference, allowing intentional time for attendees from all over to network and discuss issues in which they're interested. You can learn more at WGEDD.com. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. Now, back to the show. What was the feeling the first time you had that hard copy that you wrote in your hands?
I think I was in, again, this paradox of, wow, this has been such an incredible amount of work, and it's somewhat anticlimactic.
I wouldn't expect that, okay.
And vulnerable, I guess, to put ideas out there. And I know those of your listeners who are blogging and doing all of that, I'm right there with you trying to figure all of that out and figure out how to put your ideas out there and share them and have conversation and dialogue about them and invite people into that. So that there's that vulnerability and anticlimactic piece. And then there's just really like, wow, I'm so hoping that this offers an opportunity for me to serve more broadly. And so that was my real motivation in writing Learn Forward.
Yeah, I really appreciate that heart to serve more broadly. It just speaks to the type of person that you are. And we're just so thankful to have you on this podcast and sharing your wisdom, your insights. So definitely encourage all the listeners to check out Learn Forward. Again, that link is going to be in the show notes as well. So I hope you pick up a copy too. From a creative perspective, can you speak a little bit about your process? Because a lot of the school leaders that I'm meeting on social media often ask me, well, how do I start a podcast, or what do I do to write a book, or how should I use Instagram in my school? And I love, sharing some of my opinions on that. But can you talk just a little bit about your creative process? Like, what did it look like to write a book? And was that a daily thing? Was it every other? I don't know. Can you just share?
Sure. My particular process was actually similar to what Liz Gilbert recommends in her book, Big Magic, where she just says, be creative around your day job. You don't have to quit your day job to be creative. So I did that before she published Big Magic, but I was writing just lots on the weekends. I would get up quite early ahead of my family on Saturdays and Sunday mornings, and I would capture 2 or 3 hours a couple times a weekend to write. Most of the book started out as blog posts. You'll see when you get it. It's super readable, goes really fast, and it's very accessible because it started out as a bunch of blog posts. Thinking about those 5 themes, yeah, it grows over time. And then, of course, you get to the big push to try to actually make it into something that flows and And I have to give a lot of credit to a colleague of mine who supported a lot during those months, Miranda Webb. So that's a bit about how the book came to be.
It's amazing how many successful people and creative people like yourself. I think a key tip that they give away is just stealing time back in the morning, especially if you have a family before they wake up. It's so key. So was that like 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning? I love the details. I really would like to know.
Sure. My alarm went every day at 5:30 for about 18 months. So that included the weekends. So gotcha. I would just get up at the same time as I would for my school days. And the rest of the family was not quite there on the weekends.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I did it. But honestly, Daniel, I never thought of myself as a creative person. Even when I was in the classroom teaching, I thought, oh, I'm not creative like a lot of primary teachers are. And I think they're heroic. And so I really was influenced by The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. I'm giving a lot of notations here, but she really, in her book, says everyone is creative and challenged my thinking on that. And it was a really momentous transformation in my own paradigm and my own perception of myself. So I highly recommend if someone needs something that's totally different from school as a summer project, The Artist's Way.
Wow. So many resources that you're sharing. We love that. Thank you so much. You know, you mentioned your family too, and obviously getting up early so that you could work on Learn Forward before they got up. And that all makes sense. This is sometimes a controversial topic, but either people are with me or they want to fight me tooth and nail with this. But where do you stand on the idea of balance in work and life and family? And is that something you can attain? If so, how? Or should we just throw that idea out? And then how do you manage it?
I don't think of myself as necessarily a balanced person. I try to be. I would like to be. It's probably more aspirational than anything. But one of the things that I will say that has become increasingly important, essential, I would even say, is self-care. And I think maybe it's because I'm getting a bit older, I'm not sure, but now I even have my teachers on my team annually put together self-care plans because I want children to thrive. And just in saying that, I immediately know that I need thriving teachers, thriving parents, and I need to be thriving. If I can't model that, then I can't expect it. And I just feel like doing what's best for children always looks like taking care of yourself.
So what does your self-care plan look like since you do model that?
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned a lot of those things already to you today. Okay. Certainly, it's a fantastic morning routine. Another piece of that is I meet every morning for 15-minute coffee with my husband. I practice yoga. I journal and I plan my day and I usually check into social media. So I have a big morning routine before I start getting ready. It's really conscious and mindful time away with my family. So usually we escape. We're very fortunate to have that opportunity to the lake. So that's a joy to me. And I love being in kind of a set apart place or sanctuary, if you will, with my family. And of course, just annual rituals around visioning. I have my husband and I do a visioning weekend every year. And that's an important piece of nest building for families in Learn Forward's repertoire of resources. So there's a pretty extensive plan. Of course, I read a lot. That's part of self-care and professional development.
So that vision building that you do with your husband each year, is that to set the tone for your personal lives and family life for the year? Or what is that exactly?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking me about that. We, every year of our entire relationship, have done one weekend away where we focus on four major questions. What is our truth? What is our dream? What is our ritual? And what is our practice? And so we talk through every area of our lives, personal and professional, and we really try to set goals and dream and think about what's working, what's not working. We talk through that. We walk. We have nice meals together. And it's a really special time that, yes, does set the tone for us both personally and professionally.
Did you say there's resources in Learn Forward about this vision building?
Yeah. And in fact, my husband and I call him the builder because he's a builder. Okay. His name is David. And we are doing also some private coaching with couples who want to learn more about nest building for families. So
where can people get that information?
Yeah, just at learnforward.ca. There's retreats there. And we just started the private coaching piece. So we haven't done a ton of it, but just email me or private message me anywhere, and I'd be happy to chat with you more about that.
I think that's very interesting, and just another reason to check out Learn Forward for sure. I love being super intentional with how you spend your time, you know, because the thing, it's just a fact. If you don't establish what is most important to you, life is going to establish that, and you might not like what you get. So that is really, really important, and I'm looking forward to learning about vision building from the Learn Forward community. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Daniel. And honestly, I have to be fair. It comes from lots of mistakes,
right?
And failures. So it's all grace. And if there's anything that I am doing or we are doing that can help someone else, we're happy to share. But it's really from a place of, oh, Learn Forward.
So you mentioned the 15-minute coffee as well. And, you know, sometimes my mind just gets stuck on the most obscure details that a guest shares. But I find that fascinating, too. And I'm wondering if it'd be valuable to talk to our listeners for a minute or two on what that looks like. And I'm also curious, was that a routine that you kind of both came up with? Hey, this would be cool to connect every morning before the busyness of life takes over? Or is that something that you had to be pulled into or he needed to be pulled into? Can you share that story about the 15-minute coffees?
Sure. Well, my husband is fantastic about this notion of, quote, getting on the same page.
Okay.
He really wants to, like, get on the same page. And so when we had the bonus baby and I was working full-time, he has his own business, and we had these two teenagers, we thought, we really need to, when I went back to work, be really intentional with that morning routine. So I think that's when we got really serious about that commitment. And it is a commitment, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to come together in the same space for 15 minutes. But that's really a practice that helps us just manage our day to day. We're not having big conversations during that time. And in fact, if we do, that's probably not.
It's against the rules, right? I know.
Because it's like, no, we can't. So we have to table some things, but it's just like, okay, this is the schedule for the day. These are the things that are coming up. It's just kind of a daily management piece for us. So, but we love knowing what each other's responsibilities are that day, and then we can be supportive.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's going to serve our listeners so well, because I know sometimes just, you know, we default to what's easy, right? Sending the email or having a shared calendar, and then the other person should know. But the intentionality behind having those routine 15 minutes of coffee just to check in for people that are dating or married or, you know, single and just thinking about it, I think that is an incredible skill and routine to build into your life. So, wow, that's great. I'm going to steal that one for sure. So besides, now you're a voracious learner, you're reading all the time, you're obviously writing, you mentioned doing yoga, going out to the lake. Is there anything else you like to do for fun and to unwind?
Well, sometimes, don't tell too many people, I binge on Netflix.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think sometimes we just need rest. And there are times when, particularly when I travel, I just came back from a trip to Africa in the last week. And, you know, that with the time change and the intensity of the travel and the experience, I tend to find myself really needing a week to recover of recovery time. So I just try to embrace that and know that when I feel strong again, then I will get to it again and embrace productivity.
Wonderful. Now I have two abstract questions to close with, but before we get there, is there anything you'd like to share that we didn't talk about already?
I think probably just that I always want to continue to raise awareness for our global village.
Okay.
And just that we're so connected like never before. We are interdependent and need to realize that really gritty kind of love needs to connect us around the globe. And I think that's what inspires me to continue to think about how can I encourage and invest in and just serve. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. So you're moving to a deserted island. In addition to your family, they're already there unless you don't want them there. What three people would you bring?
Wow, that's a hard one. I think I would love to be really like witty or profound and bring really fascinating people, but probably I would bring members of my extended family. And I can't name which ones because there's too many of them and I'm only allowed to choose three. But certainly my parents have had a tremendous impact on my life and I have a very close relationship with them. And they're a super important part of my support network. And so, yeah, they come to mind for sure.
That makes sense why you'd want to bring them. That's good. So to end, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
Wow. I love this question. My top three priorities. What is beneath the curriculum? I think the five journeys for me are what sits underneath that curriculum or those competencies. And so I think being founded, knowing what you're rooted in would be really important to me. The second thing would be, how can I create that hospitable, welcoming table of learning kind of environment that's collaborative and designing spaces that invite lots of teamwork and discussion and learning together. So I definitely would want to cultivate community in the way that I designed my school. And I think that also includes, Daniel, I talk about the barriers and the bounty in my book, Learn Forward, but it's lots of just focus on the bounty, right? Like it's focusing on the goodness and breaking down the barriers. So whatever they are, walls or grade levels or ability levels or socioeconomic, racial, like religious, let's break down those barriers. That's so important to me and focus on the bounty of being together. So that's probably number two. And then number three, I think would have to be, maybe this is still related, but just a really encouraging, emotionally supportive kind of safe place. And I know a lot of your guests talk about safety and I just love that. And I think that's clearly a theme that we're really yearning for in education.
Yeah, that's so true. And recently I read Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last, and that was a big theme there as well. Just how do you create that type of safety? So I'm looking forward to that becoming a topic that we all have under our belts and we can move on to the next challenge. But I think it's important to focus on right now.
Mm-hmm. And I will give another plug. The Center for Courage and Renewal has really helped me. They have a beautiful resource called The Touchstones. And that has really been important in just helping me even equip my team of teachers and staff. So that might be something for your listeners to check out.
The Touchstones. So is that a resource you purchase? Is that a framework for thinking how to build safety, or what is that?
Yeah, it's a framework for building safe communities. It is a free resource at the Center for Courage and Renewal. And I would be happy to share that with you or anyone else. It's in a PDF form.
No, that's incredible. Thank you. We'll definitely get that to our listeners if you could share that with me.
Absolutely.
So, Kareen, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice?
Be gentle with yourselves. Our work is so important, and I'm just so happy to and grateful to have shared this time with you.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Kareen. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Kareen in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you can tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Kareen, thank you again so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thanks, Daniel, for having me.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.